Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. So we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Thanks for being with us. DA with you, coming up this hour on the show. John Gruden and Derek Carr, just a couple of best buds yesterday in a win, right? Right. And the Condoleezza Rice, Cleveland Browns head coaching story, all coming up this hour on the show. Plus, later on in this hour, we'll have your epic fail as well. Everything that happened yesterday in the NFL and Saturday's college football, hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. We've been debating this Ron Rivera decision to go for it for 2 points, and the same thing with the Maryland against Ohio State over the weekend. Neither one got it, and both teams ended up losing. Chad tweets, Mraz just said he'd rather try to go the length of the field in overtime than try to get 2 yards. Hashtag brilliant.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
Here's what I think. NFL and football in general has been a war of conservative decisions by coaches forever. It has that militaristic background, and so players do what we say. Fall in line. Don't be individuals. At the start of football 100 years ago, don't throw, only run. Bad things can happen. The old school of thought with passing, just the forward passes. Only 3 things can happen when you throw it, and 2 of them are bad. This is the underpinnings of this league and this sport forever. Play it safe. Punt it away, field position, tilt the field, don't turn the football over, don't make a mistake, and we'll win 17-13. And now, suddenly coaches are getting aggressive. Suddenly coaches are going for it on fourth down. Suddenly coaches are going for the 2-point conversion and the win. And some of them aren't getting it. And you know what? I like all of this. I'm here for all of it, and here's why. Because the rules of engagement have changed. Every rule in today's football, advantage offense. Everything. There is never a rule created where they go, you know what, we should try to limit the offense. Helps quarterbacks, helps wide receivers, helps offensive linemen, helps targets, helps passing, helps move the ball, helps everything offensively. So, adjust with the times. Yeah, once upon a time, Deacon Jones could slap you in the head. Once upon a time, somebody coming off of the edge could hit you in the head, drive their body weight into you, hit you low and blow out your ACL, hit you late, and there was no flag as a quarterback. No protection. But things changed. Once upon a time, Mel Blunt, 20 yards downfield, could rough you up. 20 yards downfield, Jack Tatum could take you and pile drive you into the turf. You're open? Who cares? Now you're not. Can't catch the ball if you're ear-holed without the ball even out of the quarterback's arm. But things changed. The Mel Blount rule was instituted in 1978. By 2004, the Peyton Manning rule, if you will, after the AFC Championship game was instituted against the Patriots. Can't rough up the wide receivers anymore. Now, you can't land on a quarterback. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's your full body weight, guys. Yeah, I'm running full speed, trying to take down the guy with the football. Hey, yeah, but that's your full body weight here. All right? Don't hit him low. No, 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 no. Don't hit him high. No, 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 no. Grazing the helmet? Oh, no, 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 no. And body weight on them? You actually want to put your body weight on them? Oh, I don't think so. Those wide receivers, they're allowed to run free. That quarterback, you can't hit him, and you certainly can't land on him. And that offensive lineman, you can't smack him in the head. What do you think? This is a barbarian's world? Times have changed. Rules have changed. Go for it. Go get the win. Because you have the ball. And in today's football, advantage possession. The advantage is not with the defense any longer. It's always the team in possession. So you got 2 yards for the win. Go get it. Especially in that Maryland-Ohio State game, the entire game was a track meet. So then it comes down to I got to get 2 yards in a game where we were able to put up 600 yards. Yeah, I'll take my chances there. I only got to get 2 more for the win and knock off the number 10 team of the country. I'll take my chances. And how many people today do you see criticizing Ron Rivera for being too aggressive and killed Mike McCarthy last week for not being aggressive enough? 4th and 2 with Aaron Rodgers. Oh, my God. You got to go for it. Well, 2-point conversion from 2 yards out. You can't do that. You got to kick it. I'm always on the side of being aggressive. Go get the win. You've just played 60 minutes of football. Decide it now. As for Warren Sapp's comments on Odell Beckham, prompting Beckham to do the Odell intimidation or imitation, rather, of Warren Sapp's, was that the Beyonce dance? I think he was doing a Beyonce Warren Sapp, so that was Odell doing a version of Sapp's Beyonce, right?
I didn't know that Sapp was doing a Beyonce. I thought that was more of a fat guy dance, that he was just stomping with the ball.
It's like the pogo stick.
Okay, maybe. I wasn't familiar with that line of work with Beyonce.
Okay. So anyway, Warren Sapp did this interview on Vlad TV.
Yes, not Vlad Dukas, Vlad TV.
Vlad. So Vladimir Guerrero has his own online outfit or something like this?
Apparently, yeah. Yeah, it's the Vlad Guerrero TV network.
Vlad TV, and then crushes Odell Beckham. And in the criticism, he says Odell's not great. Look, Odell could be obnoxious. Odell could be petulant. But Odell is a great wide receiver. And he says he dismisses that he got paid because Jamarcus Russell once got paid. Well, Jamarcus Russell got paid because he was the number one pick in the draft. And that's what you used to pay number one picks in the draft. Odell Beckham made all of his money because of what he had actually accomplished in the NFL. So Warren Sapp's an idiot. But what is Warren Sapp doing these days? Because he got all jammed up with the NFL Network and that sexual assault situation, right? Or the...
Well, he had a... Didn't he have a prostitute? Wasn't that his scandal? I don't think he was in the same NFL Network scandal. I think he was out before that.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he had a prostitute in an Arizona hotel room.
Yeah, that definitely happened.
I think he was let go, point is, before the NFL Network scandal and other stuff happened.
Uh-huh.
But he might have been named prior that he was bad in that work environment.
So there's about... Yeah, I think he was in that lawsuit.
He might have been named, but my point is I think he was already gone from the NFL Network by the time that came out because of his other problem.
So there's like 7,000 pregame shows. I mean, we actually have a pregame show on CBS Sports Network called That Other Pregame Show. So there are so many pregame shows. One is named The Other Pregame Show. There are so many hours of coverage. How is Warren Sapp not doing anything? What does that say about Warren Sapp that with a billion hours of NFL coverage, an NFL Hall of Famer who's one of the best trash talkers ever doesn't have a job? What does that say about Warren Sapp?
Doesn't have as nice a suits as Rob Ryan.
When you see some of the chumps on NFL pregame shows and NFL coverage in general, I mean, Hugh Jackson won one game in 2 years. He was out of work for like 6 days before he was on one of those talking head shows. 6 days. Hugh Jackson. And now he's back working for Marvin Lewis. I mean, how? Again, it's not like Warren Sapp wasn't a good quote. He's a great quote. And he's a Hall of Famer. And he can't get a job? He's got to do interviews with Vlad TV?
Sometimes, D.A., you know, these guys just don't want to put the work in. Maybe he's not sitting there watching 12 hours of football every Sunday.
Well, that's very obvious if you're going to say Odell Beckham's not great. I think also it's pretty obvious that if your only work is Vlad TV, there's a reason why you're not working anywhere else.
Big get for Vlad TV. They outbooked me last week.
That's a very good point, actually. Very good point. (laughs) 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. As for the Pittsburgh Steelers, yesterday they found themselves down 16 points on the road to Jacksonville. Remember, the Jaguars made the Steelers look silly twice last year. Once in the regular season, that was the day of five interceptions by Roethlisberger after Roethlisberger admitted, maybe I don't have it anymore. And then in the divisional round in Pittsburgh, where the Jacksonville Jaguars just kept scoring and eliminated the highly favored Steelers.
Ben gets the snap, rolls right, he looks, he runs, he dives,
he's in!
He's got a touchdown! Ben has a touchdown, rolling right, what a play call at the goal line!
I don't know what option I am on that, but it's way down the list. They took away the other ones, and it's kind of those things where it just, the competitiveness, the end zone, you know, seems like it's right there.
That was Steelers radio on the call, and then, of course, Ben Roethlisberger after the win. Just compare the two quarterbacks yesterday as the Steelers get that stirring comeback. Roethlisberger, 314 yards passing. Blake Bortles, 104. The Jaguars had the lead late and wanted to try to run out the clock, so they ran it to Leonard Fournette basically three times up the middle, and the Steelers just sat there and said, oh, we know what you're going to do. Nice creative play calling, Jacksonville. But really, to me, this is why the Steelers are so crazy to watch and so exciting, but also, I'm sure if you're a Steelers fan, gives you a heart attack. Because that game, and then distilled down to that last drive, was everything the Steelers are. Chaotic and aggressive and exciting and a potential self-implosion every step of the way. First of all, the Steelers all game long couldn't score, which is just pathetic. I mean, I know that Jacksonville has had a great defense coming into the season, but Jacksonville's defense has been exposed this year, and Roethlisberger threw a couple of bad passes to Jalen Ramsey, and Ramsey's interception in the end zone was a thing of beauty. I mean, that is perfect coverage, perfect athleticism, hauling in the INT. It is just sublime cornerback play. But for them to have been shut out all game long is a real problem because, of course, the strength of the Steelers is their offense, and there's no reason, even against the Jaguars' D, that they should have been shut out into the third quarter. It's 16-0, and credit the Steelers' defense for holding them to field goals. I don't want to give too much credit to a Steelers' defense for what you do against Jacksonville and against Blake Bortles because that offense has not been good all season long, but unlike last year in the playoffs and unlike last year in the regular season, the Steelers' defense was holding Jacksonville to field goals and not giving them the sevens. But then as Pittsburgh launches that furious comeback, what you have is that final drive when they trail 16-13, which is just perfect Pittsburgh. You know, it's Roethlisberger back to pass and going for it all, going for the jugular. It's amazing concentration and athleticism from Juju Smith-Schuster. That catch along the sideline was gorgeous falling on his back. Then you have the win in James Conner's hand as he breaks free, and Roethlisberger doesn't play conservatively, doesn't want the game-tying field goal, wants the win, hits Conner in stride behind the defense, and he dropped it. And that does not break Roethlisberger's want to go for the jugular, because then he hits Antonio Brown for 25 yards, getting it down to the two. And when Tony Romo is yelping, take the timeout, take the timeout, take the timeout. No, the right play actually was what Mike Tomlin decided to do there. Spike it, because it saved the timeout in case you wanted to run the football from the two. If you take the time out there and run the football, now you're screwed because now you could run out of time. If you spike it, it keeps the defense having to guess, run or pass from the two-yard line because you have a timeout to burn if you take a run and get stopped before the goal line. But then after that right decision, the time management's a disaster after that because Roethlisberger drops back to pass and he's waiting and waiting and waiting. And about 11 seconds come off the clock for him just to heave it out of the end zone. Ben, if it's not there and you're going to throw it out of the end zone anyway, just do it. But wasting 11 seconds when you only have 15 total is a bad job. And then when he runs it in, if he doesn't get it there, that clock might expire with them on the goal line. Now he gets in, all is good. But if he decides to take it and run it and they don't get in, I mean, yeah, you might get that timeout called. You might. You might. But you might not. So, I mean, everything was just chaotic and crazy. And it's just so Steelers. That is Roethlisberger and Tomlin Steelers. It's just everything's a heart attack. But here's why the Steelers are different. Is because last year they lose that game. And this year, they've won it. Jacksonville's not as good as last year. But that's a game that everybody figured, okay, here's where Pittsburgh definitely stubbed their toe. And it looked every bit of that down 16-0, and they found the way to win. Yeah, I do think they feel different. And I think the Patriots feel different as well, so that when the Patriots come to Heinz Field in a couple of weeks, that may as well be a playoff game. Because if the Steelers win that and keep the pressure on the Patriots, they open up a lead for that bye. And as I've said before, the Patriots, without a bye, ain't nothing. We've seen it throughout history. When we come back here on the show, we'll jump into your phone calls and John Gruden versus Derek Carr on the sidelines. That's a good look. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Snap, hold, kick. He's made it. He's made it. Carlson wins the game 23-21. How about that?
That's great. You know, I mean, we've got a combination of 13 rookies, I think, to play today, 13 of them. A lot of guys made great contributions and, you know, a lot of veterans, guys like Frosty Rucker and Leon Hall, guys we've talked about, have shown them the way. And it's a really cool locker room after some of the locker rooms we've experienced lately.
It's a really cool locker room. And they're the worst team in the league. Players are openly feuding with John Gruden, questioning every decision he makes. And Derek Carr comes to the sideline and gets into a fight with Gruden on the sideline. Nice. It's just a really great locker room, though, according to Gruden. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. As always, our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Remember, full episodes are available by simply going to our iTunes feed and searching DA and CBS. You'll get full episodes there. Also, you can get full episodes by simply going to our website. All the audio you need from Sunday Morning Football through the PGP and this show available on the website, daoncbs.com. That was the call from Brent Musburger, the new voice of the Raiders on Raiders Radio, as Oakland finally gets off the schneid and gets a win yesterday over the Arizona Cardinals. I got to say, I mean, I realize how difficult it is to win in the NFL. I realize it's been a negative season for the Raiders. Probably any win feels like a Super Bowl win. But yesterday, when the Raiders defeat a 2-8 Cardinals team on a last-second field goal, watching John Gruden jump 2 inches in the air to celebrate and try to do that jumping while crashing into a teammate celebration was kind of tough to watch. It's a little sad. You got to admit, even if you're a Raider fan, it's a little sad because Gruden's got no hops. He's pretty chunky. He's a chunky Chucky these days. He definitely put on some weight.
Put on weight. I don't think he's gotten to chunky status yet, though.
I think he's a little chunky.
He's got thicker. I don't know. I mean, you're not getting lost in that belly button.
Well, he's a thick body, but no twitchy.
No twitch in John Gruden whatsoever. Although, you know, the ups were slightly there to celebrate yesterday.
Although there was no ups and is 1.5 inch vertical and trying to crash sideways into a player upon beating a 2-win team on the last second field goal was like, wow, look at how far they have fallen, that this is celebration worthy. This is jump up and down worthy. They beat a rookie quarterback and a 2-win team on a last second field goal, and the coach is jumping up and down.
On the road.
But more than that, you've got John Gruden yelling at Derek Carr when Carr comes to the sideline, and then Carr yelling back at John Gruden in a pretty heated exchange. And it's just uncomfortable because you know both of these guys look at the other guy like, I can't believe they paid you this much. Both of those guys are saying the same thing. I can't believe they paid you $100 million. I can't believe they paid you $100 million. I hate you. No, I hate you. I hate him. Look, later on in the game, Carr came over to Gruden after the touchdown, and Gruden actually wrapped his arm around his neck and celebrated. So maybe there's hope. Maybe there's holiday hope. But I got to tell you, it feels like an off-Broadway production with the Raiders, where Gruden is playing the role of a head coach, almost like Al Pacino in Any Given Sunday, where maybe he's in a Friday Night Lights episode. He's playing the coach role, but it all feels pretty artificial. And I won't go so far to say John Gruden's losing his mind, but it's kind of a tough sell right now that these are healthy growing pains. We'll put it that way. Gruden wants to have you believe there's healthy growing pains. I don't know. When Carr comes over to the sideline and is yelling at Gruden and vice versa, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. I think that John Gruden doesn't believe that Derek Carr is very good, and Derek Carr believes that John Gruden doesn't think he's very good. And maybe Gruden is right. But something is certainly very uncomfortably off in Oakland, even with the win yesterday. Corey's next up. He's in Syracuse listening to The Score 1260 in CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Corey.
DA, how's it going, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
I wish I was doing better after this weekend with Hughes Hoops going down twice and now the football team. I mean, I know Dungy went down, but I didn't think that Notre Dame would play 36 on that Babers defense. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that game.
It was an oof for Syracuse coming into New York with two college basketball games at the Garden and that football game against Notre Dame at Yankee Stadium, losers of all three. I was surprised at the ease with which Notre Dame won. I thought Syracuse coming into that game was overrated from a ranking standpoint. I did not believe they were the 12th to 13th best team in the country. I understand why they got there. Their resume is really good. But I didn't think they were the 13th best team in the country. I, though, thought that they would absolutely keep that game close and that it would be maybe a 10-point win or so by when all was said and done. I did not think they were going to completely shut down that Syracuse offense. And you know, the Orange offense, even with Tommy DeVito, should have been able to put up points. DeVito was undone a couple of times by drops in the end zone. On that first possession, he took over for the injured Eric Dungy, threw it into the end zone. It was in the receiver's hands. It would have been a touchdown, and that might have changed things, but it was dropped in good defense. And then later on in the game, right at the goal line, near the goal line, another bomb that was in the hand of the receiver but knocked away at the last second. So the final score should have been better than it was. But I got to tell you, I think the dominance Notre Dame showed was not because of a backup quarterback for Syracuse, because it didn't look like Eric Dungy had any answers for that defense either. Dungy had already thrown the interception. Dungy had already seemed scattershot. I think Notre Dame's defense was excellent on Saturday, and Ian Book was excellent as well. And then Notre Dame looked every bit worthy of the number three ranking in the country. And I have been the first to dismiss Notre Dame's resume and how good they were. And I still think if they ended up as the 3 or 4 seed in the playoff, that either Clemson or Alabama would dismantle them. But I've got no leg to stand on now. They have beaten Michigan, who is the number 4 team of the country. They've beaten Syracuse, who is the number 12 team of the country. They've gone down the list and beaten who they needed to. I think the problems that they had against teams like Pitt is a little scary. Like Northwestern, it's a little scary. But, you know, Pitt and Northwestern are playing for their conference championships. So, again, who am I to say? Notre Dame, that was a really impressive win top to bottom on Saturday. The only thing I didn't like were those uniforms. I liked everything else about it. I didn't like how it looked like Notre Dame raided Aaron Judge's locker to wear his pants. Oh, cool. Let's wear Gleyber Torres' pants. This is awesome. Other than that, it was a great performance by Notre Dame. When we come back here on the show, Condoleezza Rice and the Browns job? We shall discuss that story from yesterday coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship.
What language is that?
I had no idea what that guy was talking about.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio, the very best sports talk radio show in the galaxy.
That's very good, Damon.
Every single day here for 3 hours, beginning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific, and the home of the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, which is the show about the show, available on iTunes and our website, daoncbs.com. Time for Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Mike tweets, DA, is any team in the NFC going to be able to even hang with the Saints at the Dome with the way that they are rolling? Well, I think the Rams can. The Rams did a couple of weeks ago. I mean, the Rams had to come back from that deficit, but did exactly that. Tied the game up late, couldn't get the stops when they needed it. But the Rams can hang. And I think tonight we'll all be singing a different tune if the Rams go out there and look really good against a great Chiefs team. I mean, the Rams will be on national TV tonight at home against the best team of the AFC. And if they rattle Patrick Mahomes into a couple of INTs and end up scoring, you know, 42 points on the Chiefs, suddenly that pendulum is going to swing pretty dramatically in the direction of the Rams. And people will say, can anybody stop the Rams? We all know we are in a what have you done for me lately society, and that goes for the NFL. But the Saints right now look the goods. They look every bit like a champion. And if you got to go there, good luck. That turf turns into a track meet, and they've got the fastest runners. Drew Brees is at a totally different level. And when you really think about this, think about how cool this is if you're a Brees fan, if you're an NFL fan. Last year, the reason the Saints were in the mix, in the playoffs, and winners of the division was that Drew Brees didn't have to do it himself, right? That was the adage. Well, now he's got a ground game with Kamara and Ingram. Now he's got a defense. Now he's got a great young rookie corner, Lattimore, on the defense, and that helps out create turnovers. And that defense, now it doesn't have to be all about the passing. There's not so much pressure on Drew Brees. Because the idea was Brees was starting to become less and less efficient, less and less productive, understandably so. That Drew Brees couldn't be counted on anymore to throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. He couldn't carry the team anymore. Yesterday, Brees went for 363, 4 touchdowns, and no interceptions for a perfect quarterback rating. A year ago, he said, boy, Brees getting up there in age, and we can't really do it anymore, so you kind of have to, you know, scotch tape it together a little bit and win with a ground game and win with some defense. No. Right now, yeah, they've got a good ground game. I mean, yesterday they combined for a 173 between Kamara and Ingram, and yes, they had a great defense because the Eagles only scored 7, but Drew Brees also had a classic Brees game. Brees also looked like Drew Brees 2009. where he's just putting it into windows and hitting receivers in stride and putting it only where they can get it, and he is just doing it at such a hyper speed. To me, one of the most beautiful things about watching Drew Brees is the speed at which he works. His mind is such a computer. He still has the arm strength to do whatever he wants. He has such a mastery of the position that they just run in hyperdrive all the time. And, you know, Sean Payton loves that up-tempo stuff. It's breathtaking to watch sometimes. I think that's the coolest part about this season. It's not Peyton Manning at the end where he had to be carried by his defense to that final championship. Drew Brees feels like Drew Brees of 7 years ago. And they have the defense and the ground attack. Let's get to the stories that did not make the cut this morning. It is time for your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
So we had that bizarre story over the weekend that the Cleveland Browns would be looking at Condoleezza Rice as a potential head coaching candidate. Now, the Browns denied the report. They said, our coaching search will be thorough and deliberate, but we are still in the process of composing the list of candidates. Secretary Rice has not been discussed. To Condoleezza's credit, she wrote what I thought was a very thoughtful memo about this and talked about her love of the Browns. But she said, I do hope that the NFL will start to bring women into the coaching profession as position coaches and eventually coordinators and head coaches. One doesn't have to play the game to understand it and motivate players, but experience counts, and it is time to develop a pool of experienced women coaches. And I think that's kind of the perfect way to approach this. Condoleezza Rice was never going to be the Cleveland Browns head coach, ever. Not only because the Browns, knowing that they have this kind of solid base of talent, but this desperate fan base to win and have been the punchlines for so long, aren't suddenly going to go that far outside of the box to hire the first ever female head coach, especially one with, you know, no coaching experience. That was never going to happen. But what Condoleezza's name pops up is that it's fair to want and expect females to be put in administrative positions in NFL organizations. You know, Amy Trask is so rare because so rarely are women put in positions of influence in football organizations. It is just such a male game through and through. And to me, I really like bringing in different perspectives to the dinner table, because when you have the same type of thinking over and over and over again, it becomes its own echo chamber, and you never get new ideas, new way to look at things, and new solutions brought to the table. It's funny, you know, sabermetrics in baseball has now kind of in some ways become a criticism, but it was a different way to look at baseball. It's just a different lens, and having a different lens to look at problems is usually very beneficial in solution making. And so females can bring a different perspective than having an all-male group, but also bringing in people of diversity, of different ages, of different ethnicities, of different demographics. You know, all of that helps figure out the best solution. So I think it brings up the important piece of, you know, Becky Hammon obviously has become a trailblazer and has been considered seemingly for head coaching jobs, even though she hasn't gotten one yet. There will eventually be a time where it's not totally crazy to think of a female in a head coaching position. It may happen in college first, and maybe Becky Hammon will be the first, and that'll happen in basketball and different sport. But the idea is not that Condoleezza Rice needs to be a head coach. She needs coaching experience before that. But it's that it would be a good idea to get more females and everybody in a room to solve problems, because when it's just one type of person making the decisions and figuring out the solutions, you oftentimes let yourself become vulnerable to people that can look at it in a different way.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, how about Lamar Jackson? Yesterday, as the Baltimore Ravens actually survive and advance against the Cincinnati Bengals when Joe Flacco was out, Marvin Lewis, in the loss about Jackson, said, quote, quarterbacks don't run forever in the NFL. Sooner or later, they get hurt and they don't run the same. Today, he could run. Today, he did a good job. Now, look, it's true that history suggests that you cannot be a run-first quarterback because that will end up getting you killed. But it doesn't mean you can't be a running quarterback. Randall Cunningham had a wonderful career. Steve Young ended up having a Hall of Fame career. Ben Roethlisberger and Brett Favre run and ran quite a bit. You can be a very mobile, agile running quarterback and have a very good NFL career. We're obviously not there yet with Lamar Jackson, but I think it's very small-minded to say, well, Lamar Jackson can run right now, but he won't be a quarterback because he can't do that forever. Hey, it's his first gig. It's his first start, and they got the win. However you do it, do it. And then you kind of figure it out along the way. For now, it worked. It won't work forever, but that's okay. It only has to work right now because you don't go out on Sunday and try to win a game in 2021.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And we will have a story coming up here this week, perhaps tomorrow, Mraz, on the Dart Championship. You were telling me this news item before the show today. I did not realize this happened. There was a Dart Championship that controversy swirled around it because of somebody perhaps cutting the cheese?
Yeah, there was a cutting the cheese dilemma, and there is a lot of people who had money in this Dart Championship obviously questioning whether maybe a Taco Tuesday cost somebody a Taco a Dart Championship.
Why would cutting the cheese, passing the gas, why would that have anything to do with winning or losing at darts?
Well, as you know, D.A., in tight quarters playing darts, because the board is right in front of you and you're standing next to the person you're playing, there's not a lot of room and not a lot of clean air. So if something goes awry, as Jacob Wilkins would say, it could be the difference between winning and losing this historic sport.
So tomorrow, can we dig into this story?
We could dig in, because nobody loves a good passing the gas story quite like me.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. I mean, come on. The Giants win two games against two of the worst teams in football, and suddenly Mraz and Bogish are trying to sell me that the Giants are going to win the division and go to the playoffs.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
The Eagles, Washington, and Dallas all can max out at 8-8. I looked at all their schedules, so I'm looking at the 9-7 Giants right now. I am.
The goal is to win every game.
I am. I'm sorry. I'm back
Why
in.
Why do this to yourself?
I spent the whole morning looking at schedules. I'm back in. I'm back in. It's Saquon. It's Beckham. It's, you know, here we go. Hosting Minnesota on Wild Card Weekend.
So sad.
Stayed up till midnight getting 5 hours sleep to have my ass handed to me by the freaking Eagles again.
You're setting yourself up for disaster. They're not.
Yes, they are.
They're not going to win seven straight games. There's no way.
It's only one game at a time. And as Odell has told us now for two straight weeks, it's only crazy until you do it. They changed their offensive lineup now. Things have changed. Jamon Brown is now 9-0 this year. Is he only undefeated player? Mercury Morris can't pop that champagne?
I sit there in my Zubaz pants.
I see six wins across the board there.
I see 8-8, and that might be good enough.
I'm done.
8-8 might be good enough.
Bogus? What would you even trick in his stupid?
The
door is open.
The Alex Smith
out of fish tanks like him?
No, the door is now open.
Bogus, you're trolling me at this point, because there's no way you believe they're winning at Philadelphia. As bad as the Eagles are, they're not winning.
My left arm is
optimistic. They're not willing to say they're going to win at Philly and then against the Bears.
I've had it with all of them. Shermer's stupid face. Eli's stupid face.
No, I'm going to give you the Bears game. That's why they're not going to win out. That's why 8-8's doable.
So you think they're winning at Philly.
And we just suck again for 5 years. How about he doesn't play?
At Washington, home of the Titans. At Indy, home of the Cowboys.
Just give me a quarter.
quarterback.
You want to tell me the Titans are going to come to New Jersey and win a game?
They have
you know anything
to do,
about them?
They have to do all of those things, though.
I know.
It's really only crazy until you do it.
But we're going week by week.
Oh. Can we? Excuse me. The Bears tied Brock Osweiler in Miami. They're going to come to New York. Suddenly they're going to stomp on Saquon and the Giants. Forgive me if I'm not just giving that a Bear win.
I can't wait until the Giants get pounded by 50 points in all of these games for you guys. And they finish up at 4-12.
I wanted the first overall pick. I didn't want this to happen. But here we are, and I'm all in.
We might as well go forward.
We're all in now with three wins and the Alex Smith injury.
I'm working with dopes here. I'm working with dopes.
This is all we got.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Classic Mraz line. I didn't want this to happen, but here we are. And I guess the Giants will now just have to win all of the games. Alex tweets, DA, both Carr and Chucky are saying to each other a love-hate compliment, but to themselves, they want the other person out of Oakland. This will be the site every Raider game when either one makes a boneheaded player move. Each shall be saying it each and every time. Hashtag get him out. Jason tweets, if Gruden is a movie football coach, he's Henry Winkler in The Waterboy. Hashtag water sucks. You guys are also crushing Mraz and Bogus, and rightfully so for all of that. Joey tweets, gotta love the objectivity of New York football Giant fan. These guys are nutso, and I can't wait to shove it in their face over the final month and a half of the season. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Dan Silverman on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan on your simulcast at watchda.com. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good to one another. We'll see you for Trash Tuesday tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnects.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.